is Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid, with Peter Sinclair, Patricia Burke, Danny Ross and Diana Day in...
Seated One Day at the Movies.
Oh, Grandad! My hairdryer, it's gone off.
Aye, and so has my electric razor. You must have blown the fuses.
I'm sorry, Grandad.
Susan, I've told you before, that thing's not right. Now get it down to a shop to be mended before there's a serious accident.
Yes, sorry, Grandad.
Well, I'd better go and mend the fuses. Thank goodness it's still daylight. Lights will be off as well.
Grandad, the blinking telly's packed up. It went off right in the middle of rugby league, just when the wing three-quarter lost his shorts. You'd better get the man round from the shop, or I've had Doctor Who as well.
Look, it's no use asking the man from the shop to come and look at the set.
Why? Are you still behind with your payments?
Now, that'll do. It's not the set that's out of order. Susan's blown the fuses with her hairdryer. I'd better go and see to them.
Oh, so it was you, was it, pudding face?
Don't you be cheeky.
I'd sooner be cheeky than ugly. No wonder your hairdryer packed up. Your face frightened it.
Look, I didn't want to blow the fuses. I was only drying my hair.
You call that hair? I've seen nicer hair on a coconut. Anyway, I don't know why you use that hairdryer.
Well, how else can I dry my hair?
Light the gas oven and stick your nut in. I'm going to tell me mum.
Well, go and tell her, you big soft baby.
Mum! Guess what that daft thing in the kitchen's done? Sister Susie's blown the fuses.
Oh. All right, your granddad's told me what happened. He'll have everything back to normal in a minute.
But it'll be too late then. Wigan and Castleford were drawing, 4 punch-ups each. And the set went off just at the same time as that marvellous tackle when Simpson lost the ball and Bates lost his knickers. I'll never know if he got arrested.
Well, don't worry. I'll ring the BBC and inquire for you. And while I'm at it, I'll get my sewing machine out and ask them for Bates's measurements.
Ma'am, if you're going to be sulky, I won't let you watch the big film.
Oh, that'll be a tragedy. I've only seen it 7 times. I know John Wayne's face better than my own father's.
I know, I've seen it as well, but I like watching westerns on the BBC, because it's funny if you turn over to the other, for the adverts. Last week I was watching one, and the sheriff had his gun on the baddie and he said, "Tell me, why did they call you Babyface?" I switched over and a voice said, "Because my toilet soap has moisturising cream."
Oh, very funny. You won't be watching anything if your granddad doesn't get those fuses fixed.
Well, I'm not really bothered about the telly, ma'am. I'd sooner go and see that picture at the Rialto.
Well, it would be a change from watching television.
Good. Well, if you'll get yourself ready, I'll buy the chalk ices. But when we get there, ma'am, don't hold me hand while we're going in. I feel a right Charlie.
Now, just a minute. Have you forgotten? I'm going out tonight. It's the old age pensioners' concert.
Oh, ma'am, you don't want to go to that. Give me the money and I'll take you to the pictures.
Oh, no, I must go to the concert. I'm afraid I can't go with you to the Rialto.
Well, never mind. There's plenty more fish in the sea.
Well, that's that fixed.
And here comes the old whale, Moby Dick himself.
I've mended the fuses, Jim, so now you can get back to your telly.
Oh, I'm not going to bother. It's only a western tonight, shooting and fighting. And I agree with me mum. There's far too much violence on the telly.
Oh, I think you're right, Jim.
Good. So if you'll promise not to snore when the cartoon's on, I'll take you with me.
Where to?
The pictures at the Rialto. Don't wear your kilt. It's drafting the 2 and 9s.
Now listen, your granddad and I are going to the concert.
Yes, ma'am.
We're staying on after for a meeting, so we might not be home much before midnight. So be sure to get to bed at your usual time.
Yes, ma'am.
And no getting into mischief.
No, ma'am.
And don't go getting yourself worked up watching the telly.
Is it all right if I sit in the bath with me little rubber duck? Can I come in, please, Susan?
What do you want now?
Nothing. I've just come to laugh at you. I mean, look at you. Look at your beautiful face.
What?
Yes, I'll bet when the lights go up at the interval, the usherettes will say, "Look, that's Susan Clitheroe sitting with her brother. Why, she's even more good-looking than he is."
Oh, what are you up to?
Nothing. And I promise you, I'll go to the pictures every night when you're a film star.
Me? A film star? The girl you call Pudding Face?
They can do wonders with makeup.
What was that?
I wondered if you'd like to make up our quarrel and come to the pictures with me.
No, I'm going out, and it won't be to the pictures with a delinquent like you.
All right, then. Go out. Go to the zoo and give the monkeys a laugh.
Get out and leave me alone.
Right, I will. I'll get somebody to take me. Hello, there's Mr. Whittle.
I'm not kidding, Pete. By the time I've got to the end of this joke, you'll be in hystericals.
By the time you get to the end of this joke, I'll be in bed.
Hello. Sounds like Wacker Whittle's telling me granddad one of his jocularities.
Well, hello there, Jimmy. Pardon me a sec while I just finish my comical antidote. You see, Pete, the fella arrived at the farmhouse, like I said. Pete, you laugh that much, you'll split your kilt.
Oh, get on with it, Harry, will you?
Oh, well, when the farmer's daughter opened the door... Here it comes, Pete. The commercial traveller looked at her and said, "Pardon me, but didn't we once meet in a funny story?" Do you get it, Pete? Has the penny dropped?
I don't think it's been put in the slot yet.
It's very funny. Excuse me. I want to get my raincoat out of the front room.
Okay, Pete. That's the trouble when you get antiquated, Jim. You lose your sense of humour like an old granddad. Oh, well, I can't hang about here, Jim. I'd better skediddle.
Why, are you going to the concert as well?
Oh, no, not me, Jim. I was going to go down to the docks, but I changed my mind owing to the indecent weather. I'll probably watch the telly in my digs for a bit, and about nine I'll maybe graviate to the nearest boozer.
Did you know there was a good picture on at the Rialto?
Oh, aye. It's called Massacre on Fifth Avenue. Hey, you know, Jim, when I saw it in the paper, I said to myself, "Harry, my lad, this is one film you must go and see."
Oh, good.
So I went last night.
All right. I know I pull your leg, Susan, but it's only because I love you. Don't you love me, Susan?
Oh, yes, I love you so much, I'm not going to scare you by taking you to see that horrible film. Look, you're holding me up. I've got an errand to do for Mother before the shops close.
What errand?
Well, I've got to take these colour charts back to the painter and decorator.
Let me see them. Is that his name? Geoffrey Barclay? Oh, how posh. Geoffrey Barclay, ladies' fingernails painted while you wait. What's it all about?
He's starting to paint the Women's Institute on Monday morning, and Mother's marked the colours they want. We'll see who that is while I go upstairs. If it's Alfie, tell him I'll be down in a minute.
All right, I'll tell Loverboy. I'm coming.
Hello, James.
Come in, Loverboy. She's upstairs.
Pardon?
Oh, it's you, Mr. Brocklebank. I thought it was Daft Alfie. Come in.
Oh, thank you, James. I'm afraid I'm in rather a hurry. Is anyone in?
Only our Susan. My mum and my grandad have just gone to the pensioners' concert.
Oh, they've left, have they? That's why I called. I thought of going with them. Perhaps I'd better try and catch up with them. Bye, James.
Hang on a minute, Mr. Brocklebank.
Yes?
Have you got a ticket for the concert?
Well, no, but I'll pay at the door.
You'll never get in. It'll be full. They'll have the notice up, line only.
Lying only?
Well, it should be standing only, but some of the pensioners have to lie down. Even if you do get in, it'll cost you £1.
A pound? But the price of admission is only 5 shillings.
I'm talking about the ticket touts outside the door.
Ticket touts at the pensioners' concert?
Well, you won't enjoy it.
Yes, well, you may have a point there, but I shall still go. After all, I've nowhere else to go.
I know somewhere where you could go.
Oh, where?
Fifth Avenue, to see the massacre.
Pardon?
It's a film on at the Rialto, Massacre on Fifth Avenue.
I'd say that's a coincidence. There's an American ballet called Slaughter on 10th Avenue.
Ah, well, this film's called... you're very fond of ballet, aren't you, Mr. Brocklebank?
Oh, I positively dote on it. Why?
Well, perhaps that film at the Rialto is the ballet. The one you were talking about.
Oh, no. The ballet is Slaughter on 10th Avenue. You said Massacre on 5th Avenue.
Oh, well, perhaps they've shortened it a bit. How about us having a walk round there and finding out?
Yeah, but surely ballet doesn't interest you, James.
Well, I might as well come with you and have a good laugh.
James, there is nothing to laugh at in the ballet.
There might be if some fella splits his tights. Come on, I'll come with you.
I'm going now, Jimmy. Oh, hello, Mr. Brocklebank.
Oh, hello, Susan. James and I are just talking about going to the ballet.
What?
Well, he thinks it might be a ballet. A massacre on 10th Avenue.
Mr. Brocklebank, it's rude to talk with your mouth open.
I'm so sorry, James. What do you mean?
I thought so. Mr. Brocklebank, if you're talking about Massacre on 5th Avenue, it's a film about gang wars in America.
What? You mean killings? Murders?
Oh, yes. Well, I've heard about it. Well, there are at least 10 people murdered.
There'll be 11 if you don't shut up.
Gang wars? James, I have no wish to see a film about fighting and bloodshed.
You don't have to see the bloodshed. Once the shooting starts, you can faint. And I'll only wake you up every time the ice cream girl comes round.
Look, I'm going to the concert.
I'm going out myself, Mr. Brocklebank. I'll walk down the road with you.
If you walk with her, you won't see Massacre on Fifth Avenue. You'll see the Bride of Frankenstein.
Look, funny boy, when Alfie calls, tell him I've gone that errand for Mother with the paint charts.
All right, I'll tell him. My mum said you had to go out to get your face painted.
James, your sister never once mentioned her face.
Well, if you had a face like that, wouldn't you keep quiet about it?
Oh, shut up. Alfie said he'd be here at 7:15. Now, don't you forget to give him that message.
Oh, I'm fed up. Sisters, I don't know why they were invented. It'd serve her right if Alfie didn't come at all. Or better still, if Romeo came and left before she got back. And Juliet Clitheroe would be stuck here all night, sitting on a balcony. Perhaps this is Alfie Romeo now. I'm coming!
Hello, Jimmy Gatto.
Romeo! Romeo! Wherefore art thou, Twitted?
Yeah. I'm here, Susie, Twitted.
Come in.
But what's the idea of the funny jokes?
I was just trying to cheer you up. Because I knew you'd been miserable when you found out she hadn't waited for you.
Like I'm late again. No, it's only 7:15 and she said to come at past. Unless my watch is stopped and it's 7:15 and she said come at 2:15. No, no, it was past because she said the dance started at 8:30. But she didn't want to get there until 8 when the band had won. But I can hear it ticking.
What, your head?
No, me watch, so it hasn't stopped.
I wish it would. Look, Alfie, you're not late. Susan's gone out to meet another bloke.
Oh, well, that's all right, because I bet you what?
She said, would I tell you she had to meet this fellow, Geoffrey Barclay, and she'd see you later, if you're still here.
Oh, did she? But who is this Geoffrey Barclay?
Oh, hasn't she told you about him?
No, she hasn't. Who is he?
He's a painter, I think. Hey, perhaps he's going to paint her. She was talking to Mr. Brocklebank about a picture.
Artists don't paint at night, they do it in daylight.
Oh, of course, I'm daft. She was talking to Mr. Brocklebank about a film, not a painting. Massacre on Fifth Avenue. It's at the Rialto.
You mean that this bloke's taking her to the Rialto?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, she wouldn't go with somebody else and leave you here, would she? Mind, she did make a fuss when Mr. Brocklebank suggested taking me there. I wonder if she didn't want me to see her with this bloke. Oh, no, he won't have taken her there. Will he?
Why not? I mean, he could have. I bet he has. I've a good mind to go there and catch him.
Eight to be funny if you sat behind him, and just as he put his arm round her, you dropped a chalk ice down her neck. That'd cool her feelings a bit.
Yeah, I'll give him pain to. Yeah, he'll see some pretty colours when I finish with him. I'm off to the Rialto.
Right, let's go.
What are you coming for?
To see the picture, Daft. To see fair play. I mean, if you're going to have a fight with this painter, I want to be there to cheer you on when you start it and bring you round when he finishes it.
Goodbye, Mrs. Eccles. Bye, Mrs. Billington.
Come on, ma'am. It's dinner time.
Good morning, ladies.
Jimmy, what's all the hurry for? Say goodbye to Mrs. Billington and Mrs. Eccles.
Bye, Mrs. Billington. Bye, Mrs. Eccles. All right, let's go.
What is all this? You dashed out of church there the second the service was over. You thought the place was on fire.
Well, if me mum doesn't get home soon, we'll all be ill.
What do you mean, we'll all be ill?
I mean, our Susan will start cooking the dinner.
Never mind the jokes. You're up to something, my boy.
I'm not, Grandad.
Anyway, Alfie waved to me as we came out. I think he wants a word with me.
You don't want to talk to him, ma'am.
Why not?
Well, it wouldn't be fair to our Susan. You know she's cross with him.
Since when have you worried about being fair to your sister?
Well, the vicar said we have to love our enemies.
Oh, there you are. Hello, Mrs. Clitheroe. Mr. Sinclair.
Too late. Ta-ra, Alfie, we're just going.
That'll do, Jimmy. Hello, Alfie.
Oh, my lad.
Didn't Susan come to the church with you this morning, Mrs. Clitheroe?
No, she went to the early service, Alfie.
Oh, that's a pity, because I was hoping to see you. I wanted to talk to her to find out if we were speaking. I mean, speak to her to see if we were talking, if she was talking to me.
I don't quite understand what you mean, Alfie.
That makes two of you.
But it was last night, you see. I came round for Susan and
she doesn't want to know.
Jimmy!
I mean, you don't want to interfere in Susan's affairs. You know you say you always mind your own business, so why don't you do it this time?
Don't be rude.
Oh, sorry, ma'am. I mean, you don't want Alfie to call Susan, to blame Susan.
Now, that's enough from you, my lad. Just keep quiet. Now, go on, Alfie. What's the trouble?
I was going to take Susan dancing last night, but when I got to your house, you were out.
Oh, well, that's it then. Come on, Mum.
Will you be quiet? Go on, Alfie.
Well, Jimmy told me that Susan had gone out.
Oh, there's Mr. Brocklebank. Hello, Mr. Brocklebank. Hey, Mum, it's Mr. Brocklebank. Fancy seeing Mr. Brocklebank.
Well, it's no great surprise since he was in church when we arrived.
Hello again, everyone. Hello, Alfred.
Hello, Mr. Bucklebunk. Look, Mrs. Clitheroe, is your Susan in the house now?
Yeah, she's getting the lunch ready. Why don't you go round, Alfie, and make up your quarrel, whatever it's about?
Well, I've got to be home soon for my dinner, so I'll call round later. Hey, I know, I'll go down to the phone box there and ring her up.
That's it, you do that.
Yeah, right, I will.
Ta-ta, everybody. Back to you later.
Oh, heck. Hey, Alfie, don't be soft with her. And don't believe anything she says.
Stop shouting things like that.
Really, James, you are naughty sometimes.
You're asking for trouble, my boy. Come on then, Pat, let's away home.
Yes, come along, Jimmy. Are you coming round, Humphrey?
Well, no. As a matter of fact, I wanted to take James back in the church.
Why?
Well, the vicar wanted a word with him about something to do with the choir.
Oh, no, he's not getting me in them long black frocks with the lace collar.
They're not frocks. They're surplices.
Well, the Black Hand Gang calls them frocks. Your kilt isn't a skirt, but it didn't stop them sailors whistling at you.
Look, we've had enough from you this morning. You go with Mr. Brocklebank. I'll keep your lunch warm for you. Come on, Father.
But, Mama...
Do as your mother says. Cheerio, Humphrey. Right, Pat.
Bye, Humphrey. You behave yourself, Jimmy.
Goodbye, Mrs. Clitheroe. Cheerio, Mr. Sinclair.
Bye now.
Well, you're a right pal, Mr. Brocklebank.
I'm a better friend than you realise. If I hadn't come out for you, the vicar would have come himself.
But why have you got to take me back to the vicar? What's it got to do with you?
I am a close confidant of the vicar. At one time, I was his warden.
You mean he's been in jail?
Church warden, not prison warden. He wants to see you, and it's not to do with coming back into the choir.
Oh, good.
He wants to know what happened to the organ pipes.
Oh, heck. Well, look, Mr. Brocklebank, you explained to him that it was all a mistake and I wasn't there, and it was two other people.
Ah, so you found him, Brocklebank?
Oh, dear. Hello, Vicar. How are you? That was a belting sermon today.
Yes, well, never mind the flattery, boy. Tell me, since you are no longer in the choir, what were you doing in the choir loft last Friday during choir practice? Eh? Come along. What are you waiting for?
Oh, I thought you hadn't finished humming.
James, you may as well tell the truth. After all, I was in the church at the time and I saw you come in.
Please, Mr. Brocklebank, I'd prefer you not to interrupt.
Oh, sorry.
Look, boy, did you or did you not throw an old sock and a packet of sneezing powder down the organist's bass pipes?
I never touched him. Oh, the organ. Oh, well, I didn't throw them and they sort of slipped out of me hand and it was only half a packet of sneezing powder.
I see. He slipped out of your hands.
Yes.
Into the organ pipes, which were 3 feet above your head.
It's hard to believe, isn't it? I'm sorry, Vicar.
In all my life, I have never met a boy who caused as much trouble as you. It seems impossible to believe that you are only one boy and not some sort of a gang. And that is my final warning to you. Do you understand me?
Oh, yes, Mr. Holm. Vicar. I won't do it again.
But next time, I will speak to your mother. Goodbye, and watch your step.
Phew. I thought he was going to clout me with the hymn board.
You know, you're very lucky, James, to get off so lightly. And you'd better make sure nothing else happens.
Oh, heck. Mr. Brocklebank, that old black hat in the choir loft. Is it the vicar's?
No, it's mine.
Oh, thank goodness.
Oh, why?
That's where I poured the other half of the packet of sneezing powder.
James, really, this is too much. I'm very cross with you.
Nah. In fact, I think I'll wring his blooming neck.
Help, they've both gone mad. Send for the vet.
You little imp. That was all lies you told me last night about Susan going to the pictures with Barking Jeffrey. Barkley.
I didn't say she'd gone to the pictures. You said that.
Jeffrey Barkley, he's a painter and decorator, isn't he?
Yes, Alfie got the wrong idea about him somehow.
Listen, funny boy, you'll be for it when I tell Susan the truth. That you got me to take you to the Rialto with your lies.
James! So you found a mug after all? I mean, you got Alfie to take you. You know your mother told you that you hadn't to go?
Well, clever boy, what have you got to say now?
I'm a good boy. You asked the vicar. No, don't bother. Hey, didn't you tell Susan on the phone?
She wouldn't listen. She just told me how she'd sat in all night and then hung up. Oh, but don't worry. As soon as I've had me dinner, I'll be round at your house and your name will be Mud.
After I've eaten the dinner or Susan's cooked, I'll be too ill to care. Girl in the street.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing. I see you working again as usual. After that lovely dinner you cooked, you deserve a rest.
I've no money to lend you.
I don't want any money. I just thought you might like some help.
No, thank you. And what's this about me cooking a lovely lunch? Well, last week when I asked you what you wanted for a sweet, you said a stomach pump.
That was just a joke. We're very lucky to have somebody like you. Are you sure I can't help?
Oh, no, thanks. I've finished. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to tidy the lounge before Alfie comes.
I'll come with you, Susan, and give you a hand.
Look, what is it? You never do anything for me without a reason.
Go on, be nasty. The vicar said we ought to try and help each other, but when I try, you just get sarcastic.
All right, I'm sorry. Come in the lounge, then.
I saw Alfie this morning and...
Don't talk to me about him.
Well, I know you've fallen out about him not taking you out last night, so that's why I tried to help.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, I thought it would be better for you to fall out with me and be friends with Alfie. So after I talked to him this morning, he's going to come round and say I got him to take me out last night.
Oh, is he?
Yes, well, you know I wanted to go to the Rialto, so that's where he's going to say he took me.
Well, you had no right to suggest that he lied to me like that.
I'm sorry, Susan.
All right. I appreciate you were doing it to help me, but wait till Mr. Alfred Hall gets here.
I don't think you'll have to wait long.
Hello, Mrs. Clitheroe.
Hello, Alfie.
Is Susan in?
She's in the lounge. Alfie, go in. I hope everything will be all right.
Thanks, Mrs. Clitheroe. Yeah, hello, Susan. Oh, you were here.
Hello, Alfie, me old pal.
And what do you want, Mr. Alfred Hall?
But I want to tell you the truth about last night.
That should be interesting. Go on.
Well, it was Jimmy. He made me take him to the pictures.
He bullied you?
Yes, he tricked me into taking him to the Rialto.
Is that so?
Yes, they got me to go to the pictures.
Any more lies to tell me?
No, that's the lot. What do you mean?
It's no use, Alfie. I tried telling her about the pictures, but she wouldn't believe me.
But it's the truth. Tell her. To tell her it's true, I took you to the Rialto.
Susan, Alfie took me to the Rialto, as true as I'm riding this bike.
Yeah. Bike? Yeah, but I'll thump you.
You're wasting your time. And next time you leave a girl waiting for you, at least have the decency to think of your own lies, instead of involving an innocent boy.
Susan! Jimmy Clitheroe, I'm going to give you a walloping, you won't forget.
Now, Alfie, don't lose your temper.
I'm not losing my temper.
That's good. That's right. Keep calm.
I'm going to keep perfectly calm. And I'll strangle you in cold blood.
Help! Mother, your son's being murdered! Help!
What's going on? What is it?
It's Alfie. I think he's been bitten by a mad dog. He's got glossophobia.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Clitheroe, but he's caused all the trouble between Susan and me. Getting me to take him to see that massacre on Fifth Avenue last night.
Jimmy, I told you I didn't want you to see that.
He didn't, Mother. Alfie's lying, isn't he, Jimmy?
Well, I don't... I mean...
Yeah, but I wouldn't care, but I didn't like the blooming picture.
Oh, not much. You got that excited, you started to eat your chuck ice with the paper on. Every time...
You little liar! You were there!
Now, do you believe me?
Jimmy, get upstairs. Your granddad will deal with you.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry, but you see...
Off you go.
I was...
Upstairs.
Oh, heck. I hope you're satisfied, Alfie Hall.
Well, it's your own fault for being so stupid. You were bound to be found out in the end.
And that's just where I'll get it, in the end.
Those involved with the Clitheroe Kid this week were Peter Sinclair as grandfather, Patricia Burke as mother, Danny Ross as Alfie Hall, Diana Day as Susan, Brian Truman as Mr. Whittle and the Vicar, and Colin Edwin as Humphrey Brocklebank. The recorded programme was written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe, produced by James Casey, and starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the kid himself.
Be surprised to know I didn't get spanked after all. Mr. Brocklebank came home with me grandad and said it was no good telling me not to see violence at the pictures if he was going to practice it on me. So instead, I'm not allowed to go to the pictures for a month. And before I go, my mum says she'll make sure there's no shooting or killing in the picture. Anyway, I'll have to go now. There's a programme on the telly I mustn't miss. Lynch Mob at Boot Hill.
Thank you.
Your jokes make me sick.
Yes, I have the same trouble with your cooking.
You're asking for a good smack.
I am? Well, cancel me order.
Jimmy, your granddad's going with me to the pensioner's concert.
Oh, heck. You're not, are you, granddad?
Of course I am. I'm a pensioner myself, aren't I?
Of course not. You're too young and good-looking. Come to the Rialto with me. When the woman in the pay box sees your handsome face, we'll get him for nothing.
Oh. What's he on about, Pat?
He wants to see some film and he can't go on his own because he's under 16.
I know one thing. I should look older than 16 with the worries I've got. At this rate, I'll have grey hairs before I've started going in pubs.
Oh. Oh, yes, you're very hard done to, you are.
Now, never mind the sarcasm, my lad. Come on, Pat. We'd better be getting ready.
Right, come here, Father. Just you forget about the Rialto, Jimmy.
Yes, ma'am. There must be somebody who'd take me. Of course, Scraggy Annie in the kitchen. I'll go in and give her the flannel. And if that doesn't work, I'll clout her with the towel.
The next time I see you, I've got another one for you. It's about two talking pigs.
Luke, couldn't you take me in the pictures, sneak out through the side door and collect me after closing time?
Hey, Jim, it's dead dramatical, that film. There's one big scene just near the end.
Oh, hello, Harry.
Oh, hi, Pat. I was just telling Jim about the film at the Rialto.
Oh, what? Oh, what is this film he's so keen to see?
Well, it's called...
The Son of Lassie, all about a crazy mixed-up pup.
Oh, now then, Jim. No, it's a great picture, Pat. I haven't seen so much fighting and shouting since they read me Uncle Herbert's will. You see, it takes place in America, where they had no drinking, so they used to make the booze secretly in them illiterate stills.
Yeah, they called it probation.
Charming. Thank goodness you won't be seeing it, Jimmy.
Oh, it's very exciting. One night, these two gang bosses meet in a honky-tonk joint on Fifth Avenue.
Come on, Pat, I'm ready for off.
And one says to the other, "Listen, buddy, there ain't no room for you and me in this territory." And the other one says, "Are you listening? When I finish with you, you'll be squealing for mercy."
What's this he's telling you?
It's the one about the two talking pigs.
Susan.
She's in the lounge. I'll be going. I hope everything will be all right.
Thanks, Mrs. Clitheroe. Yeah, hello. I'm going to keep perfectly calm. And I'll strangle you in cold blood.
Help! Mother, your son's being murdered! Help!
What's going on? What is it?
It's Alfie. I think he's been bitten by a mad dog. He's got glossophobia.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Clitheroe, but he's caused all the trouble between Susan and me. Get him to take him to see that massacre on Fifth Avenue last night.
Jimmy, I told you I didn't want you to see that.
He didn't, Mother. Alfie's lying, isn't he, Jimmy?
Well, I mean...
I wouldn't care, but I didn't like the blooming picture.
Oh, not much. You got that excited, you started to eat your chuck ice with the paper on. Every time...
You were there!
Now, do you believe me?
Jimmy, get upstairs. Your granddad'll deal with you.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry, but you see...
Up you go.
I was...
Upstairs.